Now, Micah chapter 7. Micah starts off, anytime you read something and starts off, woe is me. Huh? Woe is me, for I am like a fruit picker, like the grape gatherers, and there is not a cluster of grapes to eat or a ripe fig which I crave. So he's not having any luck. He's not getting any return, harvest. He's not, there's no fruit. Can't figure it out. Well, he explains it in verse 2. The godly person has perished from the land, and there's no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks also the judge for a bribe, and a great man speaks to the desire of his soul. Oh, they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, and the most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post watchmen, your punishment will come, and then confusion will occur. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For the son treats the father contemptuously. A daughter rises up against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own household. Things aren't good relationally in Israel for the people of God. And he's saying, wow, this is awful. The godly person has become very hard to find. I preached this once maybe 20 years ago about an endangered species nobody recognizes that's mentioned in the Bible, and it's the godly man. That's what Micah is saying. Psalm 12, verse 1, the psalmist says it this way, help, Lord, for principled and godly people are here no more. Faithless and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men. To his neighbor, each one speaks words without use or worth or truth and flattering lips and double heart. Deceitfully, they speak. So the faithful man, the psalmist says, has disappeared. But sometimes that's the best word. But. Verse 7, Micah said, as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, over my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. And until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, then he will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. And then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said, where is the Lord your God? Time's coming when that gets answered by the Lord showing up. So Micah says, wait before the Lord. Just don't wait on him. Wait before the Lord. Have an expectancy. Have an expectation that God's going to show up and be God. That's called hope. You could look around today and say, some of these things that we just read fit our society perfectly. Greed, bribes, dishonor, blah, all that stuff. But he says, I'm going to wait. Why? Because God's going to hear me. Now, God always heard me, but sometimes he doesn't prove that he's heard me till after I've spoken to him for a while. In other words, sometimes answer to prayer comes after I pray. Right? So he said, so I'm going to pray because he's hearing. And if he wasn't hearing, why would you pray? And then I love what he says to the enemy. Don't get excited over me, though you've knocked me down. I'm going to rise up. When I sit in darkness, the darkness of sin or shame or guilt or regret, the Lord will be my light and will light the path of darkness for me. Of darkness and deliverance, Amplified says. I love the way the Amplified says this. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because I know you are, and I know I'm messed up, but I also have talked to the Lord about me being messed up. He's going to put me on the ironing board and get all those stinking wrinkles out of me, and something good yet is going to happen. The ironing board's not really in there, but that's how I see it. So I was reading this, and I wrote down beside verse 7 and 8. So Don't rejoice over me, O my enemy, just because I failed or just because things didn't turn out the way I prayed it would come out doesn't mean I'm out of the race. Doesn't mean I'm in the dungeon. Doesn't mean I'm in the cave and I can't get out. I may have made a mistake. I may have sinned. Others may have sinned against me and messed up the outcome we were looking for. But don't quit quite yet, because I got down. It says the righteous man falls seven times. Seven times. In other words, what's that? It's the most perfect. It's the full number. As many times as a guy can do it, you do it. And every time there's an opportunity, there's a pillar, there's wisdom to pull yourself back up. And it's like this. It's not from the ground up. It's from the grace up. That's how we get pulled. It's from the grace of God up. Isn't that good? And so Micah's saying, hey, this is the prophet talking. Just if I get knocked down, if I mess up, if I screw this up, the one who sees the end from the beginning, he knows how to fix this. He knows how to take care of this. And he will be the caretaker. Because, you know, because now this is this side of the cross now, he's already executed justice for us. Price has already been paid. That wasn't true in their history at this time when Micah's writing this, but it is true now from this side of the cross. Verse 15, Micah 7. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. Now this is after he's saying, we can't find any godly men. And I need help. I need brought out of the darkness. I need to be taken care of for the things that I've messed up. And you're thinking, the Lord, well, what's the Lord thinking about this? This is the people of God. This is the covenant people of God. And they're in this mess. Verse 15, this is just great. Because God just knows what he's doing. His response is this. As in the days when you came up out of the land of Egypt, they were imprisoned. They were held captive. They couldn't even worship the Lord in Egypt where they were. As in the days when you came out from the land of Egypt, I will show you miracles. Well, of course that's what you're going to do to all these ungodly people who are in the dark and have fallen in sin. What's God going to do? I'm going to show you the miraculous. I'm going to do something so stunning that it's going to deal with where you are and it's going to deal with the whole culture where they're all trapped, where they're all hunting one another with a net. Whether it's greed and bribe and taking advantage and manipulation. And God's answer is, oh, you remember what I did with Israel? Dude, watch this. Watch this. I'm going to part whatever it is that needs to be parted. And he's going to part so things depart. Huh? I will do, he says, like what I did when you came out of the land of Egypt. I'll show you miracles. Nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will put their hand on their mouth and their ears will be deaf and they will lick the dust like a serpent. Wow. Now, this isn't talking about the guy next door. This is talking about affecting nations. God's going to do something globally. How many of you have heard there's all this stuff going on? It's globally. It's just not something happening here or in Turkey or in Spain. There's this global thing going on. Evil and good. Well, the Lord said, oh, I can deal with nations. People are really important. Nations are a drop in the bucket. So I'm going to deal with the nations. They're going to see. I'm going to deal with my people. That's who's addressing. And what I do with my people is going to affect the nations. Don't you want that to happen? Yeah. I mean, I was speaking this in Lithuania. I thought, how in the world did I get to Lithuania to speak that? I didn't grow up thinking, man, can't wait till I get to Lithuania. But the Lord made a way. First with Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. I thought, okay. And I was getting to impart this to people there. I thought, that's really cool. So he knows how to deal with. And as a matter of fact, even in that little scenario, we were dealing with nations. It's amazing. As in the days when you came out from Egypt, I will show you miracles. Nations will see and be ashamed. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses. I would like to say strongholds. I could stop right here and we could, but I'm not going to. To the Lord they will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. Fear of God, but not in that fear we love God. Fear is, oh my God, what's going to happen? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Yeah. Wow. You know, when you mess up, I'm just like if you ever did, but when your spouse messes up, remember the result is that God loves with an unchanging love. So he doesn't change how he feels about us. What we do might change the way he needs to, has to relate to us, but it doesn't change how he feels about us. He will again have compassion on us. I heard that both ways. He's like, oh, he's going to have compassion on us. And no. Oh, and again, he's going to have compassion on us. In addition to everything else, he's going to have compassion on us, because that's what a person who has unchanging love does. He will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Look under your foot. When you think about sin, that's where it ought to be, is under your foot. Well, what do you mean? That's what he does with it. Jesus already took the penalty. He took the torture, took the separation. But he said, I will take your iniquity. I'm going to stomp it. I'm just going to stomp it. He will again have compassion. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give the truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham. Don't miss that. What's he going to do? He's going to give this to Abraham and to Jacob, your forefathers from the days of old. So God is saying, like things happened when I brought you out of Egypt, signs, miracles, wonders, a parted sea, this will affect nations. This will make the enemy tremble. And then he says in verse 18, this is really cool. He passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. How many times have you heard, oh, God always is left with a remnant? God has all these people, but he has to deal with the remnant. These are the ones who have stayed loyal, stayed faithful, stayed true, continued to believe regardless of the circumstances. And here, God's saying, those people, I'm going to forgive their rebellion, even though they're the best of the best. Even they're the most choice ones. Well, you never hear anything about the remnant doing anything wrong. They're the ones left that still pray, that still believe, that still give. How am I doing? And he said, I'm just going to pass over the fact that even those who seem to perform the best still aren't perfect. And you know what I'm going to do with that? Throw them under the stinking bus. He says, no, I'm going to overlook that. Why? Because I have unchanging love. Now, this will help you not beat up on yourself so much. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I do something wrong, like that one time today. And I just pummel myself sometimes, you know, like that's going to fix something. Yeah. He already took the stripes. He already took the beating. So my thing is to get into a gratitude of, I don't know why you forgive me. I just know that you do. And so I'm not going to require an explanation. I'm just going to receive it. I believe you. Right? And he says, but this is for the remnant. This just struck me so hard. It strikes me harder today than it struck me then. But it strikes me so hard. This isn't just the guys who are on the periphery who maybe sometimes come at Christmas and Easter. No, these are the people who have invested their lives. Their identity is that they're part of those who genuinely believe, still continue to invest. And guess what? They're not perfect, and they mess up too. That just gives me such confidence, you know, because I don't do what I do because I'm the most qualified. I do what I do because the Lord said, yeah, you're an idiot, but you're not disqualified. Huh? I mean, I was writing in my journal this morning about how much confidence God has in God. Because he made humans. And they can choose and do anything they want. In his name.
Right.
And he'll get blamed for some of it. Yeah. And I said, Lord, you have amazing confidence in yourself. He said, this is what I wrote down. Yeah, the most shameful things happen through humans, and the most victorious, rewarding things happen through humans. My money is on the ladder. Isn't that cool? So what do you get when you get humans? Well, depends on what day you get them. You know what I mean? Sometimes people are just the most amazing, wonderful, draw close to them. You just want to hug them and never let them go. And other times you want to say, what garbage disposal am I going to put this guy in? I mean, say, huh? What? Who? And it's the same person. Huh? I mean, it's like, I remember one time thinking, maybe I'll buy another mirror. I'll look different than that one. No, it's still me. Thank God the Holy Spirit has been sent to us.
Yes.
And he's about changing us from the inside out. And the Lord has unchanging love so he can have perfect patience. How many of you have had our parent or a grandparent? How many of you would say you have perfect patience? Yeah. He does. He does. He does it even towards the remnant. Who should know better?
Yeah.
And who should and normally do function at a different level. But they have not yet escaped humanity.
Right.
Have you ever seen that verse before? That God forgives and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant. Isn't that amazing? He knows how to forgive everything. Does that mean he says there's no consequence for your actions? Uh-uh. No, you can't out-consequent his unfailing love. That's the deal. You can't. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. Now, he says in verse 20, I got to hurry because you guys are listening slow. But he said he gives truth and unchanging love to Abraham and to Jacob. And I thought, well, don't leave me out, right?
Yeah.
But he also gives it to us. Romans chapter 4, I'll do this as quickly as I can, but this is great. Because what he says in person by name that he's given to Abraham and Jacob, he's also given to us. Romans 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Verse 13, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So we get what they got through believing in Jesus. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified, for the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it's by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us. Verse 22, therefore it was also credited to Abraham as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. We get what he promises the fathers of the faith because we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I had a man tell me not too long ago that, well, took me a long time. I didn't believe all the time that God had raised Jesus from the dead. But he showed me, and he was right. I thought, that's awesome, because he didn't want you cheated from what he'd promised to give. That's how unchanging love works. Okay, going to shift gears to Revelation chapter 10. Do this really quick. Excuse me. Verse 1, Revelation 10. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Wow. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he cried out with a loud voice, as when the lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices, and when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever and who created heaven and the things in it and the earth and the things in it and the sea and the things in it. And he said, let there be delay no longer. Angel crying in heaven saying, I'm sealing this stuff up. I'm not writing it down, but no more delay. To me, that's like, dong, no more delay. Well, what do you do with that? I started praying, Lord, I don't understand everything that that means, but what that means to me is that you don't want to be delayed any longer from doing the things that we believe you've promised us. No more delay. Now, I've spoken that to you before. I'm sure I will speak that to you again, but Lord, we were in Lithuania, and the Lord said, add this to that. So I'm now adding this to that. 1 Kings chapter 3, and starting with verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. In a dream at night. He was asleep. A dream at night? Okay. He was asleep. And God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according to as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. He wasn't actually a little child, but he was a young man. I do not know how to go out or come in. Now, these are statements of humility you don't always hear coming from Solomon. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, not asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for a life, the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment and to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so there has been no one like before you, and there won't be another one to arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings that are like you all your days. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commandments as your father David did, then I will prolong your days. Then Solomon awoke because he was asleep. Got it? This is very important. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings he worshipped. Verse 16. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house, and it happened on the third day after I gave birth. This woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him on her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had borne. Then the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." But the first woman said, "No, for the dead one is your son, the living one is mine." Thus they spoke before the king, and the king said, "This one says, 'This is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one.' The other says, 'No, your son is the dead one, and mine's the living one.'" The king said, "Get me a sword." So he brought the sword before the king. The king said, "Divide the living child in two and give one half to one and one half to the other." And the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king and said, "Hey," she was deeply stirred over her son and said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." And then the king said, "Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She's the mother." And when Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Isn't that strong? So, he didn't have it until he went to sleep. He went to sleep and had a dream. And when he woke up, he had it. No delay. This is a biblical example of what the angel said. No delay. Nobody was bragging about how wise Solomon was until after this story. That doesn't mean he was stupid, but he didn't have the gifting that God gave him in the dream until after the dream was over. And it was immediately, like the next day, kicked in and operating. I put in your outline a title about there's process. Like when I brought you out of Egypt, there was process. But you look in 1 Kings chapter 3, he suddenly came. So which is it? Which does he do? Darn tootin'. He does. He does both. Now, why did he choose to do that in a dream? All I know is that he didn't need an audience for him to give Solomon the gifts he was giving him. Nobody really needed to know. But when he wakes up from the dream, he's got it. He woke up, he really woke up. He was more alive spiritually than he'd ever been and didn't know it until he had an opportunity to exercise it. What do you think about that? Isn't that cool? So what do we do with that? Well, that's a really good question. I think what we do is say, "Lord, you've been saying stuff. You've been stirring us. You've been quickening. You've been awakening us to things." Some of these things will no doubt be products of process because he works that way. But he doesn't do everything that way. He didn't treat Solomon this way. He suddenly came to the temple. Well, I don't even see that Solomon asked him to come suddenly to the temple. He didn't. The Lord's got really good delivery. I mean, beyond prime. There. What is he or what has he already deposited that doesn't require a process, but that he might want to do something like that? Well, I don't know. I don't either, but I think that's a good thing to pray about. Don't you? See, I answered the phone Friday night to a good friend of mine who'd never called me at that time of night before. And to firemen. And, you know, it's interesting that you got this alarm going. Your building must be on fire. And I thought, "Well, Lord, don't let it burn at all or burn the whole thing." My first thought. Either nothing or to the ground. From dust to dust and, But I was thinking, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to, how do I handle this? And I'm on the phone with the alarm system people, and, just like, oh, my goodness. And like that, Manny shows up in the fire department, and we seal the deal. I mean, it happened in a matter of a few minutes. And I thought, you don't send two trucks of firemen to a place and have them look at it and leave unless there's no fire. So I kind of went, "But why did you send Manny there tonight? Why did he need to be?" So the Lord was doing something in him and for him, but he was doing something in and for us too. Those ladies were just mad at each other. So we're going to go take this to the king. But they didn't know the Lord had done something for him. And he didn't know the Lord had done something for him until he had it and was able to speak it. Isn't that wonderful? So how does that happen? When he births something new, it comes alive. Well, what's that like? It's like it wasn't there before, so it's like different. That's what it's like. And he starts functioning in it. I can remember the first time. It's just as clearly the first time I ever had a word of knowledge over someone and prophesied over somebody. I remember exactly who it was and where it was and everything. Why? Because it never happened before. I put my hand on this little girl's head, and a movie started running. That didn't used to happen. I put my hands on lots of people's heads. I never saw nothing. But when I put my hand on her head, boom, instantly. And oh, it's just like I was narrating. You know, I just spoke what I saw. And come to find out, that was her experience, and she gets, yeah, it's great. And so I was the unpaid youth pastor at that point, so I had to tell the paid senior pastor what was going on. He said, how did you do that? And I said, well, like this. He said, I mean, how did that work? And I said, I don't know. And this is the first time. I don't know. All I know is, I saw him. I saw Pat Robertson do that on the 700 Club. This is how long ago that's been. And so I did it like that because that's how the big guys did it. And instantly something happened. I said, the Lord was showing me her experience so she could get, because she was having nightmares. They went away when I prayed. Because, yeah, you know, I've told you the story, but then her mother thought I'd been in her bedroom. Because I'd seen this ugly black light poster she had over her bed. And I didn't know that's what it was, when I started saying what I was seeing, she said, stop, that's that black light poster I got over my bed. I said, take it down and they'll go away. She took it down, no more nightmares. Told her mother, how do you know that was in your bed? Well, God told him. Oh. So then they had to have a meeting with me to find out how God told me. I said, I've never even been in your house, lady. And fortunately, something else had happened the next Sunday, very similar to it, and I got vindicated. But I thought, anyone will mess you with you any way he possibly can. But she was happy. She wasn't having nightmares anymore, so why are you upset? You know? That was one of those suddenly things, because I'd gotten filled with the Spirit, started speaking in tongues and stuff, and I didn't hang around with anybody that did that, so I didn't know anything about it. But he had already put those things, quickened those things in me. I just didn't know it. Door wasn't open. Now door's open. So I want to say this. God is a God who delights in unchanging love. It would be good if we delighted in what he delighted in. Well, I don't have unchanging love. I'm not blaming you. But he does. And you can be delighted that he does, especially when you need it. Now, we need it all the time. We just are not always aware that we need it, right? But when I was reading this again in this last week or two, and I praying that, and I thought, okay, I want to see some things happen. I don't want any more delay. Now, try listen to me. The Lord's laid things out, knowing the end from the beginning. He has perfect timing on everything. So to have it happen in time before perfect timing is incomplete and imperfect. He didn't do stuff that way, right? So we've got to lay hold of him in such a way that, Lord, we're praying no more delay, which is to say, anything that you have that's not prime time yet, we get it. But anything that's been obstructed, anything that hasn't happened because of the enemy's intervention, because of my humanness, or because of somebody pushing back, praying against, trying to occlude the problem, trying to put a bridge out, you know, in front of me, those things, no more delay. We shouldn't do without anything he has already loosed in heaven. So we need to lay hold of what's been loosed in heaven and see it real on the earth. If he hasn't loosed it from heaven, you can't get it. And we need to grow up to the point where we don't want it. I don't know if I'm there yet or not. But Lord, I want to see happen what you have already bought for us. Didn't you ever buy Christmas presents and put them in a closet so your kids couldn't find them? But you're dying to give it to them. You were happier to give it to them than they were to get it. He's like that. I don't want him cheated out of any of that either. Hello? Let's stand up together. I just want you to put yourself in Micah's position for just a second. He's talking about how destitute the culture is and how bad it is, and you know, even the people of God aren't, you know, dependable and loyal and all that kind of stuff. And then the Lord said, you're right. It's damnable. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up like I did in Egypt. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix this problem because God's people have become too much like the culture.
Amen.
And the kingdom's getting culturized instead of the culture getting kingdomized. So what am I going to do? Send the king. I'm going to show up with the scepter of might and power, founded on unchanging love. And what? I'm going to part the sea. Now, did he part the sea again? No. He showed up with signs and miracles and wonders, things that testify to his goodness and his greatness. And cause something, this is the same thing I preached last week, I hope you wouldn't catch it. But he's going to do something in the church, in the people of God, that touches the nations. That makes people who don't know him and aren't in the kingdom say, give me some of that. I believe. I believe now. That happened to that person. That's happened through this person. That person has changed. That family has changed. That marriage is saved. That, help me that way, God. That's what I will. And I don't think we need to tie any delays to that. But that's what he's telling. He said, God, here's the report. Micah's giving the report. I can't find a grape on the vine. I can't find a righteous person. What do I need to do? I need the vine dresser to show up. Right? And so, Lord, we put ourselves before you this morning. The world in which we're living is every bit as godless as the one Micah was preaching from. He had a disappointment with what was happening in the people of God across the country. And now, Lord, it's just so hard to find somebody that's continuing to invest, continuing to believe, continuing to worship, continuing to give. And God said, oh, I can fix that. I'm going to do things like I've done before, only in a measure that's going to tackle the nations. I'm going to globally do things because I'm going to do something in the kingdom. There's a harvest to be brought in. Lord, we want to stand up with the angel in Revelation chapter 10 and say, no more delay. No more delay. You didn't. Lord, you did what you did exactly at the time it needed to happen. We just want to say, it looks like it needs to happen now. So anything that you have already loosed from the throne, anything that you've already said, get this to the earth, get this to the church, get this to Kansas City, get this to Harmony. Anything you've already loosed and released, we want to say, yes, that's ours and we won't be cheated. It's ours, and we don't want you cheated. It's ours, and it's got names and people's names written on it. It's got spiritual destiny written on it. And we just call it in, Lord. We call it in. We receive. It's not about our deserving something. Today we say we're desiring something. We want to see heaven loosed on the earth exactly in the way that you've spoken it to be. You're smart enough not to give us things we can't handle. But Lord, we're weary enough to know there's stuff we need so we continue to handle. Flood us with your presence, Lord. Flood us with your power. Forgive our humanity. Lord, our imperfection. But you said, I've done that. I've taken care of that. And I'm like a bulldozer. I'm going to come and scoop up all the shame and the guilt and the regret that's on people so that they can see and hear and receive. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. There are people who would tell you that the church has been asleep. Lord, I just want to say that. Yeah, and so was Solomon, and you spoke to him in his sleep, and he woke up filled with everything that he needed to have. So I pray that you would fill the church of God, fill the church of Jesus Christ, fill individual people with every longing, desire, commitment, gift, anointing, unction, empowerment, authority, unchanging love, and cause us to be a glory and a wonder in our world. Man. And Lord, I just want to plant a 30-year seed today. Been here 30 years. God bless these people. Lord, we put a 30-year seed in that and say, anything that hasn't sprouted that was supposed to have sprouted in the first 30, now let it happen. Let it happen. Let the rain fall on it. Let the richness of the ground, let the soil feed it, and let us see the fullness of all that you have desired for us to see. Lord, I pray you'd fill this place. I just see little children singing, Jesus loves me. I pray for the innocence and the wonder of knowing who you are and have people dazzled by the amazingness of God. Thank you. Lord, we may not do it exactly right, but we just want to say we love you today. We trust you today. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. Nothing we desire compares to you. Let it just soak into us this morning, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the chance to know each other, pray with each other, and love each other for 30 years, my goodness. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what you got. But Lord, it's our intense desire today to write new songs because of the wonderful things we see you do. To have to come up with all sorts of new ways to pray because of the expression of your authority and power. Fulfill every longing and desire that brings glory to your name, and do it in such a way, Lord, that we overflow and can't help it. Look up at me for just a minute. This has been a hoot for me to do for 30 years. I mean, it really has been. This has been a wonder and a joy for me to do. And I'd be lying to tell you, sometimes it's darn hard. And other times, somebody called me not too long ago. And you don't know this or this. And they told me some things that had happened, things I had long ago forgotten about. And how God moved in their life. And they were blaming me for it. You know, you did this, you did this. I thought, good for me. I mean, I didn't say that. I thought, I did good. To have the privilege of representing him is just amazing. And Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, so I can't say that because he already did. But I may be the prince of imperfection, but that doesn't stop him. I can't see everybody because of the light, but I want you to know it doesn't stop him for you. Either. That's So, you know what? I told someone this morning, this stuff has happened, there is stuff happening. It makes me limp a little bit. Some of the stuff that's happening around us. But you know what? He says, draw me into you and let us run together. Yes. So you know what? I think the best people in the world probably run with a limp. Because they don't lean only on themselves. So Lord, give us the ability to go full speed, limp and all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, cool.